This is the Future of Work, where we talk about all things and all ways in which companies, utilities, and people are addressing the challenges and opportunities in water. So let Bluefield Research be your guide to make better decisions or just to be better informed. Today, it's all about municipal water spending forecasts and the implications of a recession, which it seems like we're in now. Will the market collapse in the coming weeks, months, or years? Who might be best insulated from the impacts of COVID-19? And what's next? Is there a silver lining somewhere in the value chain across the water sector? So today, we're going to talk to one of our experts, and we're going to talk a little bit of the background and sort of what we see going forward. So as we look at it, in the summer of 2019, Bluefield Research began in earnest, viewing the potential impacts of recession. The long and short bond yield curves were inverted. Industrials were soft. The energy sector was highly levered. Brexit and the EU issue, UK and Europe weren't getting along. It seems like the list of reasons were long, and then boom, it all fell apart. So today we're going to share some of our perspectives and talk through some of Bluefield Research's recent findings. I'm Reese Tisdale, and today I'm joined by Aaron Bonney-Casey, Research Director for All Things Municipal Water and then some at Bluefield. Aaron, how's it going?
Glad to be here, Reese, at least remotely.
Yeah, so where are you? You're in Maine, right?
I'm in Maine these days, yep.
And hopefully, I don't know, when the office will open back up, maybe it'll be 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, who knows at this point. Maybe we should just all work remotely from here on out and let our kids be feral.
My kids are already halfway there.
Nice. All right, so let's jump into it. So we've had a webinar, we've had meetings with clients, and one of the questions that keeps coming up is this recession that we're seeing now, is it different from previous recessions when it comes to water utilities and their spending?
Yeah, I mean, I think absolutely. The speed at which this recession is going to hit the economy is really unprecedented. And that means there are still a lot of questions about how this all will play out and how the economy will recover and how that recovery will impact the water industry. As in previous recessions, we don't see an immediate impact on utility capital spend, which is relatively set in the near term typically. But it remains to be seen how utilities will handle projected revenue reductions. Those are predicted to be up to 20% of the total due to non-payment of bills. So that's really going to hit operating expenditures directly. Whereas in previous recessions, we saw that OPEX was relatively unaffected. And also in this recession, both the supply and demand sides of the equation kind of evaporated at the same time. Everyone's staying at home and work stoppages kind of across the board. Additionally, oil prices have absolutely bottomed out essentially at the same time as we're starting to feel the COVID-19 impacts. And while seemingly unrelated to the impact on the economy and GDP, particularly in states like Texas, those oil prices are going to exacerbate the downturn.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like, I know just in the past couple of days, there's been the agreement, at least by OPEC, more broadly speaking, and to whatever extent the U.S. is included. But they've now basically agreed to reduce production of oil, but it might be too little too late, it seems. So that'll be interesting to see what happens. And you're right, Texas is going to be the hardest hit, but also be interesting to see what happens in places like the Bakken or even Denver in the DJ Basin as well. All right, so it's already underway. What about the impact? We've had the emergency funding, if you will. It really hasn't been stimulus, so it's more disaster related, it feels like. What would be the impact, or do you have any insights on federal stimulus, and would that help?
Yeah, when we looked at previous recessions, you know, obviously the Great Recession, the most recent one, is the most extreme example in recent history of recession impacts on the economy. And we know that during that recession, the Fed passed the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, which had a big impact on the infrastructure segment, including water and wastewater infrastructure. So we know from that example that the water segment is kind of a perfect target for federal stimulus spend, and that the sector can really be aided by that stimulus spend. In that prior recession, the federal government put money towards water and wastewater infrastructure by funneling it through the existing state revolving funds. that money gets allocated to those funds based on a predetermined need. So in that way, the distribution of funds is apolitical. But because each state administers those funds independently, there are differences in the underlying health of the funds and the ways in which they're administered. So we do see some differences between states in that respect. The other thing that I think might be different about future stimulus spending is that since the last recession, the WIFIA program has been established, and that enables the federal government to distribute funds directly to water and wastewater infrastructure projects. Right now, there's only a few dozen projects that get funding every year, and they're on average much larger projects than those that get state revolving fund loans. But if the federal government chooses to distribute stimulus funds through that program, then there's a higher potential for project choices to be politicized. And so we'll have to see how this government chooses to distribute any stimulus package that they pass.
Can we say we're big fans of the state revolving funds?
Well, we certainly spend a lot of time looking at them.
Well, time, I mean, we look project by project, which raises a good point is, it'll be interesting, I think, in our previous analysis, I know we've also been able to identify states that are not fully utilizing it. We can say that. Do you think it'll be the same going forward, or will everybody be on board now?
You know, I don't think there's any states that haven't been on board with the state revolving funds, but some states are under a greater financial stress. They were previous to this recession, and they will be going forward as well. And so the commitment that each state is able to make to either match the federal funds or even in some cases exceed the federal funds allocated to their programs, it really depends on the fiscal health of the state and their commitment for water infrastructure investment, potentially the need for water infrastructure investment, although we know that the need is pretty high across the board. And I think that's where you get the intersection of things, you know, like we were talking about with oil prices. And we know that state budgets are going to be hit really hard with this recession because oil prices are low. So states that rely on the energy sector are going to be facing a deficit. And we also know people are suspending property tax payments. There's almost nobody's buying anything, so there's no sales tax. So the question is, where are the states going to get their monies from? And are they going to potentially be under pressure to not be able to provide the funding that they have in the past for water infrastructure projects?
It'll be interesting thinking about WIFIA. It is an election year, as we all know, and it'll be interesting to see how quickly this rolls out. But I think we've looked at WIFIA's targeting a couple, 2 to 3 dozen specific projects, I think typically big dollar projects. And water and wastewater, it's not like gold-plated, big fancy bridges that everybody sees. It's, you know, out of sight, out of mind. But does WIFIA allow for politicians to sort of stand behind a big check to say, hey, look at all these dollars I brought to you in one big shovel-ready project? It'll be interesting to see how that plays out, because we've been a little bit critical of WIFIA because the problems seem to be so vast across water infrastructure. That's why state revolving funds have been more attractive to us in many ways.
Yeah, and I think exactly to your point, a lot of the investment that is needed in the sector and that is going forward in the sector are incremental additions to plants and networks or repairing underground infrastructure, you know, not things that politicians can have a photo op in front of. And so funds seem better situated to provide that incremental funding in relatively small projects.
Right. As we look at this, this is what we do. We could talk about this probably for the next year. What about going forward? I don't know if it's been said, are we technically in a recession whenever the benchmark is crossed, but we're headed there, right? Where there are 15 million plus people looking for jobs. Looking forward, what are we at Bluefields looking for in the coming months or years as far as figuring out what the tipping point might be?
Yeah, so as you know, Bluefield is continually tracking a number of indicators to get insight into the health of the water sector both today and also to get some insight into its future. So I'll just run through a few of the indicators that we're paying attention to. The first would be the capital improvement plans at utilities. We look at between 100 and 200 utilities every year, what their plan spend is for their next planning cycle. And we did see an overall 2% increase from 2019 to 2020. And we'll be looking to see how those plans change in the next iteration of this exercise later this year. I don't expect spend to be much affected for 2020 or 2021. because those projects are already underway. They might have already been bid out, but potentially utilities under financial stress will be rolling back planned spend a couple of years in the future, looking at 2022, 2023. There are also a few indicators that we continuously track and we update every month in the Bluefield Navigator. So first, we've seen newly permitted housing starts are strongly correlated with investments in new network infrastructure. So we continuously track those additions to the housing stock. We just updated our tracker actually with the most recent numbers. Of course, the data is a bit delayed in terms of when it's published. So the most recent data that we have is from February, when housing permits were actually up 7% year over year. So, of course, we expect those numbers to be down for March and April, given all of the shelter-in-place orders. But, you know, those numbers were looking pretty strong going into this COVID-19 crisis. We also track employment in the utility space and in construction sector for water and sewer construction projects. And we know that from looking at previous recessions, those employment numbers are a pretty good reflection of the overall activity of the sector. And then thirdly, we track the value of construction put in place for water supply and sewage and waste management, which is another indicator that reflects the overall health of the sector. All of those indicators, you know, we track on an ongoing basis, so they'll be updated kind of in real time, month to month, and our clients can get a sense of how those numbers change every month going forward.
What's interesting is a couple of these indicators you mentioned, including the capital improvement plans, that's going to have the biggest lag, right? Because those plans are in place and they're updated annually, depending on which utility or city you go to. But the question is, I think everybody knows the drop is coming. It's a question of how deep, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then I think also what we want to pay attention to is the recovery. You know, there's a lot of questions of how fast employment numbers are going to rebound or construction projects are going to restart. And I think those numbers will give you some sense as to how quickly the rebound is happening as well.
I mean, what's such a bummer about this is we knew this was coming. We put out research and when did we put out the research note on recession? September, October?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so we were talking about it then, and clients were asking about it because we had been in a 10-year bull run, and I think I already mentioned some of the indicators that were telling us that this was happening. But all these things you mentioned here, they were actually pretty strong. So it's a little partly frustrating. We knew it was going to happen. It never happens how we want it to. No one can ever predict specifically when and how things are going to happen, and it just happens to be a bad one. So to that point, is there a silver lining to all of this?
I think, yeah, potentially. So what I've been hearing from clients and industry professionals that I've been talking to is that despite utility construction projects being delayed a couple of weeks, potentially, as people sort out how projects can safely go forward, taking into account both public and workforce safety, by and large, utilities are continuing to execute their construction projects and capital improvement plans, with work being done and even new projects being put out to bid. So all of that is just kind of underscoring that the municipal water sector is relatively recession-proof, which is definitely a silver lining for vendors along the supply chain. I mean, you and I have talked about a number of times, vendors in the past few years, as the economy has been so strong, have been looking to move into industry for higher margins, for faster growth rates, and diversify their revenue streams with more of an emphasis on industry. I think now we're seeing the plus side of having those municipal clients because they are insulated from some of these recessionary effects. The other silver lining I see is kind of making lemonade out of lemons. This crisis has really underscored for utilities the true meaning and value behind investing in resiliency. Many utilities are really feeling how unprepared they were to manage a remote workforce and to remotely monitor their systems and networks. So I think that we anticipate that this is going to prompt change across utility management and investment in systems that make utilities more resilient in the future.
Yeah, I think it feels like the resiliency question always came out of, you could call them hotspots or flashpoints is another way to put it. Places like wildfires in California or hurricanes in Texas or Hurricane Sandy, where at a localized level, there was a discussion about, oh, how do we deal with these catastrophic events or crises that are impacting not only the water utility or the cities, but also infrastructure and demand and so on and so forth. The huge difference to this one is it's impacting everybody, not only, you know, state by state or city by city, but country by country. So it's interesting to see everybody suffer through it. I mean, even Bluefield, we're all working remotely, right? We're finding ways that we can do things better, do things differently, and hopefully that'll carry forward. And I suspect utilities will do the same thing. All right. Well, with that, you've put out some research on the recession. I know you've got a quarterly update on municipal water coming out pretty soon. And then we've had meetings with clients. And then, like you mentioned, the data navigator that we have where we're tracking a lot of these things. I'll let you get back to it. Hopefully it doesn't snow again this week in Maine, which I know it did last week. That's like salt in the wound.
Yeah, it'd be fine if we're all done with snow for the year.
Exactly. April in New England is it's a wasted month in some respects because we get everything and we can't just go on with it. We don't get summer and we can't have winter to go skiing or anything else. So, all right. Well, Aaron, thanks again. Thanks for stepping up. Be well, be safe, and be kind. We'll talk to you again soon. This podcast and Water Industry Insights have been brought to you by Bluefield Research, which is advancing water strategies and decisions globally. You can always learn more at bluefieldresearch.com. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to Future Water on iTunes and all the other podcast platforms where you can download all the fun information while you're working from home. Thanks again. We'll talk soon.